Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2506, with a release date of Friday, November 7th, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC considers a request for satellite delivery of after-hour sunlight. Australia begins a sweeping review of their amateur band plans. And remembering a priest who pioneered wireless transmission at the turn of the century. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2506 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story sheds some light on a satellite company's plan to shed some light, some real reflected light from the sun, back to the Earth after twilight to benefit solar power users. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, gives us the details.
The FCC's Space Bureau has been asked to approve a proposed launch next April for a satellite in non-geostationary orbit that will deploy mirrors to provide sunlight on demand, according to the company's website. Reflect Orbital, a startup company based in California, filed its application this past summer for a license for what it hopes will be the first of 4,000 mirrored satellites that it wants to place in low Earth orbit by 2030. The April launch is being eyed for a demonstration satellite, which will carry a mirror that measures 18 by 18 meters or 60 by 60 feet. Sunlight's reflection by that envisioned constellation would extend daylight beyond twilight for as much as 4 hours, increasing solar power production to locations where Reflect Global has customers. The company says that its technology supports clean energy generation, but astronomers, biologists, and other scientists have raised questions about the prospect of light pollution on human and animal health and the ability to study the skies effectively. Astronomers in particular have said that lighting up dark skies would impede their work, which often uses sensitive cameras. According to published reports, Reflect Orbital recently began working with astronomers to minimize the mirror's impact on them. Meanwhile, scientists have observed how nocturnal species' lives can be disrupted and perhaps imperiled by artificial light during the night. This past May, the U.S. Air Force awarded the project a $1.25 million Small Business Innovation Research contract to support its progress. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The last major changes to Australia's national band plan were put in place nearly a decade ago, prompting the Wireless Institute of Australia to launch a sweeping review of everything, proposing changes across almost all bands. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, explains this ambitious undertaking.
Regulatory changes and shifts in on-air activity are two of the major drivers behind a wide-ranging overhaul being considered for Australia's ham bands. The Wireless Institute of Australia's Technical Advisory Committee opened a community consultation on October 17 and is expecting hams who have made requests over the years to formally weigh in on these proposals until the deadline on the 12th of December. The proposed changes accommodate growth in the use of new modes and new areas of interest, particularly those involving the use of digital technology. They include revising ATV segments based on a widespread adoption of digital ATV modes, a review of repeater subbands, considering the growth of digital voice hotspots on 2 metres and 70 centimetres. Band plan data for the microwave bands between 24 and 134 gigahertz are also being reviewed. On HF, the proposal will try to achieve better alignment of band plans, including 630 metres and 160 metres. A comprehensive list can be found at the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. The WIA is seeking responses only from licensed hams and clubs based in Australia. Revisions are expected to be published by the end of the first quarter of next year. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
He was there in the UK at the inception of Summits on the Air, and now he is a silent key, leaving many SOTA ops around the world mourning his death. We learn more about him from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Robert John Hannon, G4RQJ, was not just one of the best-known and longest-serving members of the SOTA community, but perhaps one of the best-loved. He was there in 2002 when SOTA was a dream realized by so many outdoor enthusiasts who believed that combining radio with a bit of adventure would be a peak experience in every sense of the word. Rob became a silent key on the 25th of September in the Rysdale St Cuthbert's nursing home. His death was reported recently on the SOTA Reflector. Even as poor health began to hamper his activities, Rob's enthusiasm remained strong. His final activation, made in 2018, was number 916. Even away from the summit, his was a particular familiar face at the annual Norbreck Rally in Blackpool, where, accompanied by his wife Audrey, he staffed the SOTA stand and greeted visitors warmly. The SOTA Reflector post noted that his cheerful and caring demeanour was as present on the air as off the air. The post said, whether answering your call as a chaser or in summit-to-summit QSO, he always sounded as though he was having the time of his life and that he was absolutely delighted to hear from you. Rob was 84. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Here in the U.S., a well-regarded businessman who served the amateur radio community and was a friendly and familiar face at many hamfests has become a silent key. Jim Dameron, N8TMW, shares his story.
Many customers in the amateur radio community knew him simply as John B., but John Bart Shearer, N1GNV, was also known for his Connecticut-based business, Quicksilver Radio Products, and his personable demeanor. He was a visible presence at hamfests and activities with the Meriden Amateur Radio Club. Before starting Quicksilver more than 20 years ago, John had been the advertising manager for the ARRL's publication QST. Licensed in 1989, John and his club also ran the Nutmeg Hamfest, the New England ARRL state convention in Hartford. John became a silent key on Saturday, the 25th of October, while hospitalized. His longtime friend and part-time employee, Peter Freiler, W1AIR, told Newsline that the business remains open while the family copes with its grief. He said that Quicksilver's long-term plans were unclear. Peter said that John found great joy in meeting with fellow amateurs at Dayton and at New England's regional Nearfest, which he particularly loved attending. He said that he often spent more time just chatting with visitors than trying to sell them anything, which, given his friendly nature, was not surprising. This is Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
Two amateurs involved in separate activities designed to develop the next generation of hams have been selected to receive the YASME Excellence Award. We learn more about them and their work from Jen DeSalvo, W9TJX.
Two U.S. amateurs have been recognized by the YASME Foundation for their ongoing contributions to young amateur radio operators in helping them develop technical and operating skills. Ed Engelman, KG8CX, is being honored for his work with the YACHT program, which serves young amateurs. YACHT is an acronym for the Young Amateurs Communications Ham Team, which connects young radio operators around the world to form friendships and share their experiences. Don Jones, K6ZO, has been recognized for his ongoing work training and supporting young operators in rural Malawi. One of the teenage operators from Don's training sessions was recently added to the team of de-expeditioners who are going to Andaman and Nicobar Islands in the Bay of Bengal next year. Both hams will receive the YASME Excellence Award, which was established in 2008 by the foundation. The announcement was made on the 30th of October. In the same announcement, the foundation's board of directors said that YASME has also made a grant to support the RM Noise Project, which employs artificial intelligence to remove noise from SSB and CW reception. This is Jen DeSalvo, W9TXJ.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the linked N6 USO and K6TEM repeaters in Southern California, Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. local time. Get ready for a celebration in the sky. Amateur radio on the International Space Station is marking its 25th year by transmitting 12 different images on SSTV from November 12th through to the 20th. The images, which will honor scouting, are to be sent on 145.8 megahertz every 2 minutes. There will be a scheduled interruption on the 16th of November for an educational contact with Azerbaijan. In Australia, CB radio enthusiasts and hams are taking to the mountains for an annual challenge, as Jason Daniels of VK2LAW tells us.
What started as an experiment between two teenagers in Australia testing the range of their walkie-talkies later grew into a test of CB radio's range in young drivers' cars. The activity, which began formally in 1987, is known as the Mountain Radio Challenge, and it's a test of what a radio operator can accomplish using only line-of-sight communications. This year's challenge is taking place on Saturday, the 29th of November. Instead of school kids on beaches, this growing challenge attracts CB radio operators on 27 megahertz and amateur radio operators on the ham frequencies, many of whom are also activating SOTA summits. Tony Locke, the founder and event director, told Newsline in an email that the very challenge that began long ago between him and a schoolmate has since expanded into several groups on hills within his home state of Victoria, and has expanded to Tasmania, South Australia, and New South Wales. The objective is to transmit a predetermined relay message in one direction from one operator to the next, and a responding message back in the reverse direction. According to the event website, although ham radio operators will not be participating in the message relay itself, their presence on the mountains is still useful because the hams can help with operator coordination and, of course, if there is a need for emergency communications. For details about participating, see the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The estate of a silent key in the U.S. has endowed the creation of a high-ranking position at his alma mater in the state of Iowa. We learn more about him from Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
A native of Iowa, Gary Swenson, Kilo Alpha 2, Hotel Alpha November, served in the U.S. Army for 30 years before retiring as a colonel in 2005. Before entering the military, he had earned his master's and doctoral degrees in economics from Iowa State University. His lifelong love of learning and reading carried through into his amateur radio career and now prominently into his legacy. Gary became a silent key this past June unexpectedly when he had a heart attack at the age of 75. His estate is funding the establishment of a Dean of Library Services on the university campus. The library is a cornerstone of the university, with more than 2.3 million physical items in its collections and another 2 million e-books, as well as access to online publications in various disciplines. According to the university website, more than 1.5 million downloads of the campus's scholarship and research projects are completed each year from its digital repository. The Library Services inaugural dean, Hillary Seo, said the gift would, quote, benefit future generations of students well into our next century of service, end quote. That educational mission is consistent with much of what Gary did after retiring from the military. He tutored at a community action center near his home in the state of Virginia and was active with the Mount Vernon Amateur Radio Club. This is Andy Morrison, Kilo 9 Alpha Whiskey Mike.
In the world of DX, Arnold DK1VK will be active as OZ0ROM from Romo Island, IOTA number EU125, on the 8th through to the 14th of November, and again on the 21st through to the 28th of November. He will also be on the air from the 16th through to the 19th of November as LA/DK1VK from Utsira Island, IOTA number EU055. During his activations from both locations, he will be using single sideband on 80 through 10 meters and possibly 160 meters. Listen for Aldir, PY1SAD, using the call sign 8R1TM from Guyana until the 7th of December. He is using single sideband, CW, and digital modes on 160 through 6 meters. The 5J4D expedition to Playa Blanca Island will be on the air starting on the 12th of November. The island is IOTA number SA084. Be listening for them on CW, single sideband, and the digital modes on 80 through 10 meters until either the 16th or the 17th of November. For all contacts listed in the world of DX, please see QRZ.com for QSL details, frequencies, or other operating information. We'll end our report this week by going back in time to the turn of the century when a priest from Europe came to the U.S., where he became an early pioneer of wireless communications. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, introduces us to him.
Father Joseph Mergas, the scientist, painter, and priest born in what is now known as Slovakia, was a man of enduring curiosity and deep faith. Ordained in 1888, he served the church in what was then the Kingdom of Hungary until he answered a call to service in the United States. In 1896, he arrived in the mining community of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, which has a strong Slovak population. The priest, whose many studies included astronomy, botany, and electrotechnology, held another cherished faith, a strong belief in his experiments in radio telegraphy. Some historians say that his development of a wireless transmission method, known as the tone method, which he patented, paved the way for the development of Morse code. In 1905, he publicly tested it, successfully sending signals between towers in Wilkes-Barre and Scranton, about 20 miles or 32 kilometers away. That historic transmission will be recreated on the 15th of November by the Mergas Amateur Radio Club, K3YTL, at King's College, and amateur radio station W3USR at the University of Scranton. The event, organized in partnership with the Slovak Heritage Society of Northeastern Pennsylvania, will be live-streamed on YouTube and Facebook and will be available for viewing later on the club's YouTube page. The day will also mark the 50th anniversary of the club that honored the pioneering priest by adopting his name as their own. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Find links to the 1 p.m. live stream in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. If you haven't sent in your ham radio haiku yet, what's been stopping you? Visit our website at arnewsline.org, and as you compose your ode to the favorite online activity, we will help you use the correct number of syllables to make an authentic haiku. Submit your work and then sit back and wait to hear whether you are the winner of this week's challenge. The winner gets a shout-out on our website, where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, American Astronomical Society, AMSAT News Service, Bob Jesuit, WA3PZO, David Behar, 425DX Bulletin, Iowa State University, Little and Kane Funeral Directors, Los Angeles Times, the Mountain Radio Challenge, Mergas Amateur Radio Club, Peter Freiler, W1AIR, QRZ.com, shortwaveradio.de, Slovak Heritage Society, Soda Reflector, Space.com, Storm Lake Times Pilot, Wireless Institute of Australia, the Yasmi Foundation, YouTube, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operations. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its materials even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.